Today, a spokesman for the Chevron Texaco told NPR his firm doesn't have a copy of the lawsuit yet and found it inappropriate to comment. The Lyondell Chemical Company of Houston manufactures MTBE for refiners to blend with gasoline. A spokesman for that company says, quote, MTBE is a safe product that has significantly improved air quality in every region where it's been used.
Over the last 30 years, thanks to public health programs, the number of children poisoned by lead has fallen dramatically. The main culprits were leaded gasoline, lead paint, even lead in food. But new research suggests that even tiny amounts of lead may be more dangerous than scientists once believed. Some health experts say more should be done to protect children, especially in poor neighborhoods where lead paint is still widespread. A federal lead panel is considering tougher standards, and New York City Council is debating a new lead prevention program that could cost landlords and taxpayers tens of millions of dollars. NPR's Brian Mann reports.
This is DeKalb Avenue, one of the poorest neighborhoods in Brooklyn, block after block of dreary red brick buildings. Most of the shops are boarded up. Apartments huddled behind barred windows and metal doors. Christiane Modesto lives upstairs with her parents and her two brothers. She's a pretty, round-faced teenager. But 11 years ago, when she was two, doctors measured the lead in her blood at 48 micrograms per deciliter. That's more than twice the level now considered toxic. Lead can block the healthy development of bones. Christiane's hands are permanently deformed, the thumb joints flattened and frail.
It's starting forming, like crooked. It's difficult to me to write long because it hurts.
According to her father, a city health department inspection found the lead was coming from old paint flaking from the apartment walls. The apartment was cleaned up, and Christiane now receives a disability payment from the federal government each month. But lead can also trigger learning disorders, hyperactivity, even lower intelligence. Christiane says she's doing well in school, but she worries that her brain may have been damaged as well.
Well, yeah, because I'm scared.
It's rare these days for children to be so severely poisoned. The federal government banned lead paint in 1978 and leaded gasoline in 1986. Most American kids now have blood lead levels around 2 micrograms. But each month, blood tests here in New York City still turn up 500 children with lead levels in the 10 to 20 microgram range, now considered dangerous by the Centers for Disease Control. Nationwide, the CDC says roughly 500,000 kids have lead levels high enough to cause irreversible damage. Most live in poor neighborhoods, and most are African American or Hispanic. But a growing number of scientists believe that the number of children threatened could be far higher.
Our research suggests that lead levels below the level of concern set by the CDC are still something for parents to be worried about.
Dr. Richard Canfield, a researcher at Cornell, tracked kids in a poor neighborhood in Rochester, New York. In a study published last spring in the New England Journal of Medicine, he found that much of the damage from lead poisoning was occurring below the 10 microgram threshold set by the CDC. Canfield says even trace amounts of lead are so toxic that health departments should stop relying on blood tests and focus instead on identifying contaminated houses.
We have to shift our thinking from testing children and waiting until we find a child whose lead levels are causing adverse effects, shift that to assessing the child's environment. Then we can prevent children from suffering needlessly.
Under current CDC guidelines, followed by most health departments around the country, a child's home is inspected for lead paint contamination only after a blood test registers above 15 micrograms, when permanent damage may have already occurred. Dr. Carla Campbell, a pediatrician in Philadelphia, chairs a CDC advisory committee that's now reviewing those standards. She says the panel is also preparing a report that will urge communities to spend more money on prevention.
It's an area whose time has come. It will be a housing-based approach to primary prevention of lead poisoning. I think people are more interested now in trying to protect children right from the start.
Campbell says those new housing guidelines won't appear for at least 6 months. But New York City Councilman Bill Perkins insists that change is needed now.
Our contention is that New York shouldn't wait. New York should lead. If necessary, CDC can catch up with us.
At a recent rally at City Hall, Perkins called for passage of a local law that would force landlords to identify apartments occupied by children under the age of 7 and do regular inspections for peeling paint and lead dust. Problems would have to be cleaned up immediately using trained workers. 2/3 of New York City Council members have endorsed the law. But critics point out that the number of serious cases in the 10 to 20 microgram range has dropped nearly 80% in less than a decade. Mayor Michael Bloomberg, who opposes the law, says the new prevention effort could cost more than $200 million, draining money from lead programs that are already working. Frank Ritchie is spokesman for a landlord group called the Rent Stabilization Association. He says those costs could force many apartment buildings to close down, meaning less affordable housing.
Many of the owners that we have are also minorities. They have many of them have negative cash flows on their building. So to make some of these repairs is just not possible.
Ritchie says the lead threat is being exaggerated by people who just want to make money.
The people who used to all be in the asbestos business now are trying to make something out of the lead business, but they'll probably wind up moving on to the mold business.
But the pressure for stronger lead programs is growing, as researchers suggest that more children are threatened.
How are you? I'm Gabriel.
Gabriel, hi. Carla.
On a recent afternoon, Gabriel Thompson makes a stop on a middle-class street in Brooklyn. Thompson's nonprofit group, the Pratt Area Community Council, offers free lead inspections. Many of these old neighborhoods, he says, are being bought up and renovated by young professionals.
I mean, that's clearly not a new windowsill. If there is lead in that paint, you're going to get an amount of lead spread around this area. And that's also, you know, about head high for a toddler.
Carla Drysdale has lived here for a year and a half. 5 months ago, she received a notice that her infant son had tested positive for lead at 13 micrograms.
I got the letter from the Department of Health, which said wash his hands more often, wash his toys, try to keep him away from, you know, windowsills. I did all that, and my hope is that he has not been affected, but we'll never really know.
The CDC says there's no firm date for completing its review of federal lead guidelines. New York City Council is expected to vote on the new law later this month. Carla Drysdale says she won't wait. After reading the latest research and talking with her son's pediatrician, Drysdale says she's looking for a new apartment. Brian Mann, NPR News, New York.